There's magic in the air tonight.
And anything can happen.
I suppose you want a kiss.
Kissing would be nice, yes?
It's the Princess and the Frog, but not quite the way you heard the story.
Yes, The Princess and the Frog, Walt Disney's movie, premieres this weekend, and it's a step backward for Disney. It's a 2D animation, two-dimensional animation, sort of traditional animated movie. Disney, you know, and Pixar are known for high-quality CGI kinds of animation, but it's also a step forward for Disney in the sense that it's Disney's first African-American protagonist. The princess is a African-American young girl, and the story behind the film is at least as interesting as the story on screen. Joining us to talk about it is Jeff Yang, trend forecaster for company Iconoculture and a columnist for the San Francisco Chronicle. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning and happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. And LaToya Peterson, happy Thanksgiving to you. Editor of the blog Racialicious joins us from Washington, D.C. Good morning, LaToya.
Good morning.
Jeff Yang, first of all, what evidence do you have, as something of a trend forecaster, that Disney is deliberately trying to target with the Princess and the Frog the African-American community or other communities?
Well, you know, they've been very explicit about this, actually. The question of when Disney was actually going to integrate the princess brand, so to speak, has been around for a while. And, they have, of course, other ethnic princesses. They've got officially as part of the iconography Pocahontas and Jasmine from Aladdin and, of course, Mulan from Mulan. But the question of why there are so few black characters in, kind of Disney's top tier in general has been something that's been percolating for a while. And I think with Prince and the Frog, Disney really did want to make a statement, and I think they've done so. It's kind of interesting what statement they've made.
LaToya Peterson, what statement is that? I mean, in a sense, Lion King, the hugely successful 2D animated film, had the continent of Africa as its star, but no explicit African-Americans in there. They're all animals. What's the statement in this movie, LaToya, as you're seeing, and how is it controversial?
Well, one of the interesting things is that Disney waited, I believe, 60 years between the last time they released a studio release that had African-American character, which was the highly racist Song of the South.
Right.
And so it's been a long time since they've locked that movie in the vault, but they haven't ever tried to adapt an African-American princess into their stories, and they haven't really based any of their stories in America. And so they're really trying to take advantage of multiple cultural memes, having an American set story and having an American princess. Unfortunately, because they waited so long, they're in this kind of racial minefield, because our discussions around gender and race have really progressed since the last time they've really done a princess movie.
And this is an interracial story, LaToya. I mean, why is Disney the company that attracts so much controversy here, or maybe even conspiratorial notions that they have bad intentions on some level?
Well, because Disney is also known as that company that shapes childhood and shapes childhood dreams. And as a lot of us have gotten older and as our pop culture critiques have become stronger, we've realized that the messages that Disney promotes can be really detrimental to women. And by creating these all-white worlds where generally people of color appear in very subservient roles or very stereotypical roles, that there's a lot to watch out for. So even though Disney purports to be this very innocent company that's all about family and fun and friends, the messages that their movies send actually can be quite different. And so one of the bigger issues with how they're taking the film, suddenly everything is under scrutiny, from Tiana's name to the fact that Prince Naveen, as you mentioned, doesn't really have a race per se. And some people are interpreting that as Disney excluding the chance for black boys to finally see a prince that looks like them, while others are looking at the setting of New Orleans and how they have a very mixed racial culture down there, and how, everyone from Creole to Cajun, there was a different type of understanding of race in New Orleans that I think is unique from the rest of the country. And some people see Disney as playing to that. But either way, whatever Disney chooses, it's going to be hotly debated.
Yeah, and, it's interesting. The fact that it is targeted always at youth culture, it does play as a set of rules. I remember growing up, my mother always said in Disney movies, the mom has to die in the beginning, just like in Bambi. And that was, controversial in our household. Jeff Yang, you've seen the movie. How does Disney do here?
Well, it's really interesting because I don't want to blow too many plot points here, but the mother does not die. The mother is Oprah Winfrey, so I don't think that she
might be
in her contract to not die. She goes out on her own terms. But the overall storyline is fascinating in some ways because it's been fashioned very clearly as a different kind of a very kind of quintessentially American princess mythology. This is about a working class princess who aspires to something, and that something isn't necessarily a prince. You know, she's if anything, a bootstrapping entrepreneur who wants to achieve the dream of that her father sort of passed on to her of owning essentially her own restaurant. She's kind of a small business princess, if you will. And, you know, in a lot of ways, you kind of wonder whether or not the way the storyline evolved, and I think it's taken a lot of different evolutions over time, was in response to maybe some prodding from people outside of the African-American community that this was going to be kind of an ultra-PC, multicultural myth fest. And, you know, they decided to really create something which, in my opinion, has a lot of almost conservative talking points aligned with it.
Interesting.
It's something which, you know...
A movie by focus group. A movie kind of by focus group, in a way.
Well, you know, I think all movies these days are sort of by focus group. But, you know, and I do not want to suggest that this is anything less than a lovely film. It is quite an experience to watch. But it's clear that they were trying to play a lot of cards here. And, you know, the fact is, we'll see how it lies.
Right. Indeed. Yeah. Jeff Yang, trend forecaster for Iconoculture and columnist for the San Francisco Chronicle. Have a happy Thanksgiving, Jeff.
Thank you.
And LaToya, when are you going to see the film?
Well, nothing cool ever comes to D.C., so I'll see it December 11th like everybody else.
LaToya Peterson, editor of the Racial blog, Racialicious, joining us from Washington. Happy Thanksgiving to you, LaToya.
Happy Thanksgiving.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.